This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, so I'm very excited about this series that I'm going to be doing with you called Aftershocks, and obviously named after my new book that debuts tomorrow. And very, very excited about this. This is going to be a game changer for so many of you who are listening to this podcast right now. And the reason why is because of the subject matter of Aftershocks and of how deep I dive into scripture with you and take you on this journey that is going to help you navigate the choppy waters ahead of us. And my friends, we are heading into choppy waters. Now, what's happening all over the world is not something that has caught God by surprise, but basically what I do in this book is I uncover and unpack the confusing events and really the nature of the events themselves and how they dovetail into God's prophetic plan for the end of time. So basically what I do in this book is I give you critical intel concerning how your life is likely going to change for the future and how in the next months and years ahead, you can navigate with great confidence what's going to happen in our world. I was talking to somebody the other day about how the world that we're living in is very, very dark, okay? It's a dark world, and it's getting darker all the time. If you could just imagine the sun's light just dimming a little bit, just fractions every day, well, or in a room, like when a light dims, that's exactly what's happening to our world, culturally and morally and economically and geopolitically and many other ways. And what God's Word does is it enables us to see in the dark. It gives us night vision goggles. To me, that's what the Word of God is, and discernment and Bible prophecy. They're like night vision goggles that enable us to pick up these heat signatures, if you will, out there in the dark and to identify them to make sure that we're not stumbling around in the dark. Because basically a lot of what you're seeing on social media, a lot of what you're hearing from other people, they're just stumbling. That's all they're doing. They're grasping for straws. They're grasping for any morsel of truth and meaning and significance that they can cram into their lives or something they feel like they can, you know, tie a knot on and hang on to in these difficult times that we're living in. And so that's what's going on. So what I want to do with this little series called Aftershocks, I want to begin to help you understand what's going on in our world and how it is a direct aftershock and a foreshock of what's happened and of Bible prophecy. So let's just begin this way. You know, whenever there is a earthquake, there are always aftershocks. Always. And sometimes these aftershocks from an earthquake will last for months and sometimes even years. And, you know, sometimes as an earthquake has an aftershock, it sort of, you know, kind of peters out over time. And other times it triggers other earthquakes. And so you never really know. And that's why we're living on an unstable planet. In fact, biblically speaking, the Bible says that our planet is groaning for redemption. And it's because it's longing to be reborn again. The planet itself, nature itself. And Bible prophecy helps us understand how to put that in perspective. One of the things that Scripture predicts that is going to happen in the end times is going to be seismic cultural and moral shifts. And I believe that the proximity for those events and for those things to happen is upon us right now. I mean, we're not like looking at it in the future, but it's coming at us right now. Now, there's some Bible prophecies that are like so far in the distance, you're like, wait a minute, there's no way that can happen. But think of it this way. If you knew that somebody was going to come, you know, pick you up for a party or going to come to your house for dinner or whatever, and they said, I'll be there around 6:30. Well, you know to expect them sometime around 6:30, unless they're one of these people that are like habitually late, right? you're going to expect them around 6:30 because that's what they said. Now, if they said, I'll be there at 6:30 on the dot and they're trustworthy, then you'd expect dinner to be ready at 6:30 on the dot, or to be ready to greet them at that time. Well, when Bible prophecy reveals the future to us, it tells us these things are going to happen around this time, around this time. And what are those times that Bible prophecy is going to happen around? Well, it's going to happen around the times that are ramping up to the prophecies that we read about in Daniel and in Revelation. And so as we look at our world around us, let's just talk about in this first episode a few of the things that we're seeing happen that the Bible also, and I'm going to talk about just, you know, specific prophecies. I'm going to talk about some general prophecies that the Bible talks about that we know is going to happen as humanity continues to get more depraved. Now, think about this logically for a second. You have a fallen human race. The Bible says we are dead in our sins and our trespasses, that we cannot come to God on our own, that we need God's power, that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. Scripture tells us that there's no way we can change ourselves, that there's no good thing within us, and that from within, by the way, these are all in Scripture, Ephesians 2, Romans 7, and then in Mark chapter 7, Jesus says that every sin that you commit, he says it comes from inside your heart, beginning about verse 21 in Mark 7. It's not the big bad world. It's not, can't blame the devil on this. It's our own hearts. We are sin manufacturing, idol manufacturers. You know, we're like sin factories in our hearts. And we come up with these things. Now, the world tempts us and the world plays upon those things and it baits us. But we're the person that gets to make the decision whether or not that sin is birthed in our heart. And if you would just logically think about, you've got a human race, you've got billions of people. So let's just say there's a billion Christians on the planet. I don't think there's that many, but let's just say there's a billion out of 7.5 billion people on the planet. So there's a billion Christians. So now there's 6.5 billion people that are lost, that are dead in their sins, that are totally depraved, and that are headed to hell. So watch this. What would you expect those 6.5 billion people to do in terms of becoming, what kind of character that they would become as a human race? What do you expect them to do globally? Do you think they're going to crawl and scratch and fumble in the dark and find the truth on their own? And they're going to come together and say, at a world council meeting of all the world's leaders, they're going to say, guys, what were we thinking all along? We thought we had the right plan. But obviously we know that Jesus has the best plan for us. Let's all come together as a planet and let's circle around Jesus and let's make the world like Jesus wants it to be. And that begins with repentance of our sin, turning from all other false idols and religions, you know, abandoning unbiblical governmental structures, all these things. And let's just be like the Bible says. What do you think the chances are that that's going to happen? Well, I'd say about 6.5 billion to one are the chances that's going to happen. So we would expect humanity to continue to devolve into chaos, into confusion, and into a moral catastrophe. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen. Now, let's just talk about a couple of ways that we're seeing that happen right now. Number one, let's see it in terms of the moral decay that's happening in our world right now. And this is not like a hard sell, okay? Because all you have to do is just look around and see what's happening. You know, Isaiah in chapter 5 of his book in verse 20 said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Now, when you say woe, I mean, that's not like a like what you say when you try to stop a horse, okay? He's talking about a warning. This is a warning. When the Bible says woe, when Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," it's his way of saying, watch out, buddy. You're about to step in it. You're about to get trapped. You're about to go down the abyss. Woe. Stop. Turn around. So woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We're living in a world today that has completely inverted and turned upside down the good, godly, Judeo-Christian values upon which our country in particular was founded upon. and upon which basic morality, which is what every man, every woman, every child knows intuitively within them, according to Romans chapter 1, because the Bible says every person knows that there is a creator. You can deny it if you want, but the Bible will tell you, no, you know there's a creator. You know there's a God. And to deny that is to call God a liar, because God says in Romans 1, you know there's a God. Now, the reason why people say, no, I don't know there's a God, is because they have done something that Romans 1 says that they do, which is suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So here's how it works, and this is where our world is today, and this is why we're experiencing some of these aftershocks again. So when a person intuitively knows that there is a higher moral being, now he doesn't know his name necessarily, he just knows that there's something up there that's greater than him, that causes this innate sense of morality within them, according to Romans chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15. They postulate about who this God is. And the reason why they don't come to the right conclusion about who the God is, because they're not going to the Bible. They conclude that, God is big. He must be creative because, you know, he made all these things and that kind of stuff. But watch this. So they conclude that he must not exist because deep inside them, another force is working. And that other force is the sin nature I just talked about, the thing that manufactures sin. So when the thing inside you does not want there to be a creator, because you know that if there is a creator, then you're somehow accountable to him. And if you're accountable to him, it could be the God of Scripture. And if that's true, you're up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. And you don't like that scenario. So you just simply say, well, that's just not true. It's just like a person going to the doctor and the doctor doing like an MRI and going, you've got a big mass inside your tummy and it's not an internal organ. It's something else. We think it could be a cancerous tumor. And the logic here is that someone would say, well, I don't like that. I know I've been having intense abdominal pains, but I don't like your conclusion. So I'm just going to deny that this tumor exists because I can't see it. You know, you're just telling me this. Oh, yeah, you've shown me pictures, but I don't know if that's me or not. So I'm just going to deny it. That's the logic here. So what happens is people take the truth that they know and the Bible says it calls suppression, that he suppresses or she suppresses that truth. She pushes it down. It pushes it to the back, ignores it, denies it, right? It's classic denial. This is the textbook definition of denial. And so they push that down. So when they do that, the Bible says they then have to speculate about what is real. What is that thing in my stomach? What is that lump? What is that pain? Well, it must be indigestion, or it must be, you know, something that I ate, or it just must be, I just need to work out more or whatever, and I'll be okay. And they continually just deny the reality. And that's where we are today. People are living in alternate realities. We have these crazy twilight zones that people are living in. Our government is living in it. Our cultural values have redefined reality itself. And they've denied science. They've denied basic biology. And Romans 1 says that type of suppression of God's truth leads to a darkened mind. That's Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. And when the darkened mind, think about it, when you're in the dark, you can't see. If you can't see, you just have to feel things, you know, or you have to just stumble around, right? You don't know where you think you know where you're going. You say, well, I'll just trust my heart. You're going to trust your heart in the dark. How dumb is that? And so you just trust your heart, and you bump into something, you say, well, that really wasn't a wall. I just imagined that. Or I think the door is over here. Or here's the light switch is somewhere this way. You don't know because you're in the dark. So you make up stuff. You're standing in the room and someone's saying, describe the room. And you just make up the room. That's what the darkened mind does. Okay? So watch this. So when a person describes reality, it's obviously not going to be the reality that God describes. And the Bible says that leads to idolatry. This is all in Romans 1, by the way. Idolatry, it leads to rampant sexual immorality. It leads to homosexuality and lesbianism. And finally, it just leads to a host of other sins that the Bible describes is produced by the darkened mind. And let me just read a couple of them to you. And tell me if this doesn't describe the world that we're living in. This is the cultural seismic shift that we've experienced in our country and also in the world in the past several decades. It says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. That's a mind that doesn't work, okay? Their minds don't work anymore. It's basically a phrase that means that God, when he says he gave them over, it means that he has delivered them over to their own slavery. And the word depraved just means that it just doesn't work anymore. It's rotten. It's broken. It doesn't function well. It doesn't function properly anymore. It says to do those things which are not proper. And these are some of the things that happen. They're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of evil, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Well, that's half our government right there. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. There's your cancel culture right there. If you do one thing wrong back in your past, you're going to be canceled forever. Unmerciful. There's no grace. And although they know the ordinance or the law of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, because intuitively they know the wages of sin is death, they not only do the same, but also they give hearty approval to those who practice these things. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying that these people are so bad that they not only want to pursue their own sin themselves, but they also celebrate those who pursue those same sins, and they promote them. And that's exactly the world that we are living in right now. And you say, Jeff, well, the world's always been bad. Yes, that's true. But the world has never been this bad in the same context of Bible prophecy being in its developmental and some of these more than developmental forms. Some of these prophecies have actually been fulfilled. So when you have fulfilled prophecy plus the generation that God says eventually is going to be at the end of time, then you've got a 1-2 punch there. And just real quickly, I want you to see 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he says, but realize this, know this, he says, that in the last days, difficult times will come. He says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. You can't talk to these people. Malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, my friends, that is the world that we're living in right now. Now, listen, here's the deal. So when we talk about there being aftershocks from what's gone on in the past year, we're saying that sometimes when there's a tectonic shift, it loosens certain things. There's mudslides, there's mountain slides, and we are in the midst of a moral landslide. Right now, we're in the middle of this George Floyd trial, this man who died under the care of this Minneapolis police officers. And you know what? No matter how this trial goes, you're likely to see a lot more anarchy and chaos and buildings burned and looting and rioting and all this other stuff, because people can't just accept what justice is and then move on. There's going to be a whole cottage industry grown out of that. I mean, Black Lives Matter grew out of the last deal, right? And there's going to be all these little sub things crawling out of the ground that are going to try to capitalize on this thing. And here's the thing I want you to know as we close out. Our culture and our way of life is in flux. Your way of life has been upended. It's been threatened. It's been changed. It's been totally transformed because of what's happened the last year with COVID. And because of that, the foundations of our lives have been seismically shook. We've all been shook. And we may never return to normal. And so, my friend, that's why we need a book like this, like Aftershocks, because it's going to help you learn how to get grounded. Even in the midst of times where the earth is shaking beneath your feet, you're not going to be shaken. You know why? Because you're grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, go pick up a copy of Aftershocks and share one with your friend as well. Buy a copy for a friend who might need it, someone who needs to understand the times that we're living in. I'll tell you some more about Aftershocks in the next Vintage Truth episode.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.